Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Chris Middleton goes for 40. Devin Booker goes for 42. You got the Devin Booker game we were looking for.
See?
But.
Think about it. He got
the
that
play.
40.
Yeah, I'd said.
He, be legend.
He got 42. He played great. Now, on the Suns' perspective of things, as we were talking about the Bucks earlier and the Giannis, the great block on Giannis, again, if you could think of, like the feeling, of course, prison of the moment, oh, the greatest block we'll see in NBA Finals history, and it's like, wait, 2016 LeBron, that chase down led to a game-winning shot, went to a championship, and that's – what are you doing? I am trying to host the show here, and are you singing – what were you singing, the Beatles?
Whatever, yeah. Is that the Beatles?
Yeah.
Okay.
She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. It was a pretty famous song.
Same thing as the Monkees.
It's not the same thing as the Monkees.
Okay.
No. No, the Monkees was a sitcom based on the Beatles experience.
I just know
the Beatles happened to be one of the greatest
He-Man haircuts.
Bands in the history of music.
They had He-Man haircuts, little skinny ties.
Well, that was the look then.
And they all looked the same to me. That's all.
But you
see,
this is later Beatles. The Monkees didn't do stuff like this because this was a little.
Man, it's the same thing.
They were trying out some stuff.
I know people hate me.
Wouldn't be able to compete in the Olympics, the Beatles, at this point in their careers.
Beatles, yeah.
A lot of experimentation happening after those early years.
That era, though.
Yeah, right? Of course, yeah.
Just having a little fun in
life. But just if I could, how dare you compare the Beatles to the Monkees?
I know one thing. The Monkees had a TV show.
Yeah, they had a TV show. So
I ain't never seen the
Beatles. The Beatles had a movie.
They had a cartoon, too.
The Beatles had a movie, A Hard Day's Night. You should watch it.
Same thing, though. It's the same thing,
it's
man.
It's not the same thing. You're really going to upset some people.
I don't give a damn.
Well, I know you don't, but I do. It bothers me.
I'm not going to let you do that with a lot of stuff.
Well, you just upset people by saying that Giannis's block in the game last night was actually not that big of a play, and in fact, his block from game one was a better play. And you're saying that the block by Giannis was more that Ayton couldn't catch the ball.
Yeah, his
you want to really upset some people?
His athletic ability
like that
is great.
And ruin it. You just ruined it.
Am I lying, though? If he catches, we just had Gabe on.
Yep.
If he catches that ball in the palm of his hands opposed to fading away from it, it may be a different play. Athletically, Giannis did everything just great. He was able to slide. He's looking at Booker. He was able to turn. Get back, use his athleticism, elevate at the highest level. But, there's always a but.
Always.
Ayton is touching the ball with his fingertips. He doesn't have an opportunity to catch and stuff. That's all I'm saying. I ain't saying it's a bad play. It's a good basketball play. His block in game one.
The chase down.
And LeBron's block chase down in 2015.
2016, right.
16 is just better to me. That's all. They're
well, LeBron, again,
better.
For those who want to argue it, and it's a great play by Giannis. I agree with you on that point. It's a great play by Giannis, but to say it's the best, and I know Pat Connaughton said this, and he'll hit me up, be a little biased. He does play for the Bucks. But to say that it's the best block, best play, whatever you want to call it in finals history is absurd.
What is he going to say?
And I'll tell you what, if I'm LeBron and I'm in the midst of trying to promote Space Jam 2 and he's really not talking a lot, we don't see him tweeting much about the finals. We don't see him tweeting much about anything other than, of course, his movie.
Hey, man.
The last thing he wants
LeBron
is that to become the play that overshadows his play.
LeBron chased it down, right?
Yeah.
Goes and gets the block. If he continues to push forward, he hits his head, his face on the backboard. He had to lean back.
He did have to lean back.
Not to hit his face.
Yeah, he almost, right.
He's going to bust his nose on the backboard.
We're showing that on ESPN2.
So
right
instead,
now.
He leaned back. Mm-hmm. So all that is athletic to me. The mindset to be able to chase it down, go get it, the presence of mind to know, well, I don't want to mess up this gorgeous face. Let me lean back as I block this shot. All that at the split second.
Oh, man.
To me, that stuff, I look at that, I'm like, damn. Because I've seen people hit their head on the backboard, when they go up and get it.
I know somebody that did that once. It hurts.
It hurts.
Trust me. From experience. But then that play also led to a three-point.
What was that, an eight-foot rim?
Stop it. I didn't say I hit my head on the rim. That leads to, though, the Kyrie shot, which is the game winner. And it's a game seven, so I wouldn't put it above the LeBron block, but it's still a great play.
Momentum changer, all that.
That changed a lot of things too. But what also changed things for the Suns is that Chris Paul hasn't been Chris Paul since game one.
Second half of two,
he was good. But he's got 15 turnovers now in the last three games. Had five again last night. Turnovers a big issue for the Suns, as they had 17 of them, and Chris Paul had five of them. And Chris Paul, you know, clearly we heard this going into the series that he has ligament damage, some like partially torn ligaments in his shooting hand, his right hand. Now, is that affecting him? Is that affecting the way he can handle the basketball?
In game one.
I'm just asking the question. Is that affecting him?
Going into it.
Yeah.
So if he did well in one and two.
He's struggling handling the basketball, Key.
One and two, we didn't have that issue for him. So I'm not getting ready to give him the excuse that he's hurt.
Okay.
Maybe it's just he's out of sync right now. Maybe he's a little tired.
It's the defense.
Maybe the defense is doing certain things to him. It's okay to have a couple bad game stretches. Maybe it's on the road. Maybe it's just a lack of focus on the road. Then he gets back to Phoenix in game five.
He's a 16-year veteran. Lack of focus on the road?
Man, sometimes, man, it don't matter how many years you play in this league. Pressure sometimes can burst a pipe, depending on where you at. Get back to Phoenix.
Wait.
It's a different situation for him.
Are you going back to that narrative about Chris Paul, that when he gets close to the mountaintop, something always goes wrong for him?
Not necessarily close to the mountaintop, but he – look, man. They're on the road.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, 16 years in the league. He's played a lot of games. He's played a lot of hostile environments on the road.
Mm-hmm.
This one's different. Maybe he feels something different because he's so close that it's going to take him to get back to Phoenix to all of a sudden give us game one and two second half
again. Get his game back.
Well,
here's Chris Paul after the game talking about the 17 turnovers. He's the point guard, so he said it's all on me.
It was me. I had five of them. You know what I mean? It was bad decision making. Timely, we down two, and I try to cross over right there, slip, turn it over. Had some bad passes in the first half. You know what I mean? They got, you know, a significant amount more shots than us. And so, you know, for me, I got to take care of the ball. We got 17 turnovers. We shoot the ball too well not to have those opportunities to score.
And those turnovers that we're watching on ESPN2 has nothing to do with his hand. It has more to do with him out of position and getting in a situation where he's doesn't have anything to do with the ball and he just throws it. It's almost like a decision that was made before he wanted to make a decision, like a panic move to a degree. That doesn't look like anything to do with a hand.
It doesn't look like somebody that wants to shoot the basketball. That's what it looks like to me. So he's in a position where it would be a move to shoot the ball and he doesn't want to. I'm wondering if the hand is an issue. That's all I'm saying.
Could it be that I'm the point guard, I want to get other people involved? That I want to get Booker involved?
Hey, it's winning time, and he had 10 points. He took 13 shots. Like, I don't know. He had 7 assists, but still. The 5 turnovers, the way he's played. Look, Monty Williams was asked if Chris Paul is healthy. Here's his answer.
He's fine. You know, great players have games like that.
Yes.
We expect him to bounce back. You know, he had 5, but we had 17, and they scored 24 points. You know what I mean? That was pretty much the game right there. And then you double that up with the offensive rebounding. So it wasn't just Chris. As a team tonight, we got to take better care of the ball.
See, I tried to tell you, he's fine. The coach said he's fine. He's fine.
Oh, what do you think? What are you going to say?
The coach said he's fine.
Okay.
He's fine.
Then there's something bigger. Then there's a bigger issue with him because he did not look fine in the way he was throwing the ball around. I don't want to take credit away from the Bucks. Maybe it's their defense. Maybe it's Drew Holiday and how tough he's playing against them.
That ball he just threw out of bounds. That had nothing to do with his hand. It had something to do with where he was at on the court, mm-hmm. anticipating somebody to be in an area. He throws the ball and they're not there. That has nothing to do with his hand.
I don't buy it.
Okay.
It's Chris Paul, man. Like I don't see all
and
of a sudden what did
Coach just say? Every now and then, guys have bad games. What did I say prior to Coach? Every now and then, a guy will have a bad game.
I hear you. I just watched the guy and I said to myself, that's not the same guy we saw.
Man, y'all
most
be
of this
panicking
playoffs.
Paul too much around here.
What do you mean?
He's like, oh, Chris Paul's his hand. It's like, no. It's,
but that was
let's
the,
see,
going
let's
into
see
the,
what happens in game. Five.
Going into the series, they talk his partially torn ligaments in his hand.
He gave you 32.
I understand. Who's to say that he didn't get
that's
hit?
Game one.
I need reasons, Key. I can't just watch a play and think, oh, he just had a bad game. I can't buy that.
What was wrong?
I just had
what
a bad game. Doesn't what? Ever work for me.
Well, did Booker have a bad game in game three?
Well, he got locked down.
That was a bad game.
He got locked down. He got locked down.
The dude went for 42 2 days later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he figured it out. Watch film, figured it out.
And now Chris Paul probably going to watch film and figure it out in game five at home.
I can't accept it. I can't accept it. All right, we'll take more of your calls on the duos, on the Batman and Robin stuff in the NFL. Whether or not Giannis's block was a great play or maybe just a bad catch, as Key is saying.
Oh, God,
and
stop.
Do you buy, like, Chris Paul's fine, he just had a bad game, because I can't buy that at all. Also, could we see a Pro Bowl quarterback on the move to the city of brotherly love? Pat hopes so, but Key doesn't think so. We'll explain all that next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Coming up this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, New England Patriots quarterback Cam Newton as the countdown to the NFL season continues. Cam Newton, coming up this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Falling out of his hand.
Every time we watch the replay, Key just keeps pointing to the fact that Ayton never really had the ball. He had it in two fingers on each hand, so he never really had full control, which made it easier for Giannis to make the play. So according to Keyshawn Johnson, it wasn't a great play.
See, that now you're playing radio. I didn't say it wasn't a great play.
It's a great play.
It's a great play. It's not a great block.
You're not going to say that will be. And now I'm going media narrative. That will be the signature play of this series if the Bucks win. If the Bucks don't win, that's forgotten.
I don't think it will be. I don't think it will, but they'll find something else.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We have Jay in Chicago.
Because I ruined that moment by discussing the real breakdown of how Ayton was losing the ball slightly out of his fingertips, not the palm of his hands.
Right, it wasn't in his hands. And Jay in Chicago agrees with you, right, Jay?
Yeah, man, Key's completely right. If you look at that play, DeAndre Ayton did not have any good control of that ball to make that dunk. And if you watch the playoffs in general, Ayton's had some weak hands when it comes to trying to just catch the ball. But also, man, I'm feeling like Chris Paul is feeling the pressure. I feel like he's done this most of his career. But I'll also say that the refs really screwed that game at the end. The ball goes off P.J. Tucker's foot. They didn't call Giannis when he didn't even completely step out of bounds to pass the ball in.
Yep.
And just other plays like that. And it's kind of disappointing that the final is, in my mind, coming down to bad referee calls.
Well,
last thing I'll say, though, Batman and Robin, Khalil Mack, and Roquan Smith. Thanks, guys.
You got it, Jay.
Roquan and Khalil be a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because they're the leaders of the defense. That's a good one.
That team's got to be
Aaron
good.
Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller, Chubb. I mean, you know.
But on the officiating real quick, I thought it was interesting that Booker's fifth foul, P.J. Tucker flopped. I mean, Booker's not that strong that he can knock Tucker over. Tucker was going to box out. Booker was coming in for a rebound, and they bump, and, you know, P.J. dove into the sideline
but they gave him makeup.
They make it up
when he actually grabbed.
Fouls Drew Holiday.
Absolutely.
And if you're an official, and they'll never admit this, but it's like, you know, that PJ one, you got duped, right? You know, like,
yeah, he kind of touched him and he went got flopping. It's not a
so
little bitty.
That's
dude.
One. It's like, he makes this layup. I'm not blowing this whistle. I'll give it back to him.
Yeah,
and he made the layup.
But,
so it's like, all right.
But
he
that
made
was
layup.
So crazy though, because it was so egregious. It was
oh
like,
my God.
Right,
yes,
it was right. Obvious. It was like,
yes.
And then but, that would have been his sixth foul. He'd have fouled out.
Yes.
And do you foul him? You know, it's like,
yeah.
Do I foul him out right now, given the fact that he's the star in the game?
That's what I mean.
40 points. Yeah, it was all that sort of stuff.
If he misses the layup, you got to blow the whistle. You got to blow the whistle if he misses the layup. But he makes it, so you're like, all right, move on. No harm, no foul. Move on. Like, because you know that you kind of
owe
him. It
would have been
one.
A late whistle. Really late at that point.
It doesn't matter. You definitely could blow it there.
Yeah, but it was super late.
It doesn't matter. You blow whenever you want. I just feel like when you talk about the, you know, the officiating part of it, it's never going to be perfect, as we know. But that was one with the
was
fouls.
Was it the same official, though?
No, it wouldn't be the same guy because it was the other baseline.
That's what I'm saying. Here's so why would it be a makeup call then?
Because the crew knows.
The crew.
That
you're saying the crew.
Yeah,
got it.
Watched
okay, I thought you was alluding to that particular
like I said,
official.
Nobody will ever admit this, but that has to be in the back of your mind. Tom is in Milwaukee. Tom?
How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Good, man.
I would love for you guys to show Milwaukee Bucks some loving. You know, for the size of our franchise and for our state, you know, Milwaukee's 600,000 people, and for the Bucks to be in this stage going against a good team, the Phoenix Suns, the refs are letting the players play. It's keeping the people, fans off their seats at home. I mean,
so
guys,
Tom, what we need to do more since we're not showing the Bucks any
I thought
love?
We just raved about
or we when you say about we, are Middleton? You talking about this particular show?
No.
Or are you talking about the network as a whole?
Well, no, the network as a whole, you guys are doing a good job. I'm just saying, you know, we're talking about the referees and block this and that. You know, like I said, we're going to go back to Phoenix, you know, in a couple days. Phoenix is going to get some good, you know, some good shots, and the refs are going to make some bad calls in Wisconsin and say, hey, they're bad calls. You know, if you stop and think about it, the series is tied up now 4-2. It's one heck of a game, you know, and yeah. it's just awesome to see that.
I love your enthusiasm, Tom. Just curious, when did you start tuning in this morning? About what time?
Right away, right around, I think it was like 5:30 before Fox News came on.
Okay.
I watch the news in the morning before I go to work.
Sure.
So and then when Fox News is on, goes on their thing, I turn you guys on.
And we come on it. So you saw us from the top of the show 6 a.m. or for you it'd be 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, if you caught us, you said 5:30 a.m. your time. So that's 6. So you missed like
well,
our
it's
open
6 o'clock central.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I missed your open.
You missed
yeah,
our open where we
and I
everything you were asking
that.
Us to do, we did, and then we also have to take it now. Now, from the Suns' perspective, because this is a national show, so we also had Gabe Neitzel on that you might know from ESPN Milwaukee. We had him on for an entire segment, and he talked about it from the Bucks' perspective and what a great game it was, and what Chris Middleton means, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, what I ask you to do, Tom, and thanks for listening as always. Thanks for putting us on after you watch Fox News. Is go to the podcast and check us out because we did do all those things you asked us to do, but we do appreciate you listening.
Yeah, I just
thanks
wanted
so
to know from Tom, like, what else we need
I
to
don't,
do, man?
Pom-poms.
Like, I don't know what else.
I don't know. We just talked about the game, man. But, hey, well, again, Tom wanted us to talk about how great the series was. And
I like the fact that Tom wakes up so early to watch us, though.
That's helpful. That's why I was trying to be polite to him. Let's go to Nate in Ohio. We go back to the Batman and Robin conversation here. Nate wants to talk about that. Go ahead, Nate.
Batman. Hey, Key. What's up,
Nate? What's happening? What's happening, player?
Hey, Key, man. I've been watching you for a grip, bro, when you was at USC and all that. But, hey, man, you guys, your show is lit, man. You
appreciate
hear me?
It. Thank you. A lot of people,
your show is lit.
They're getting used to it. It's a little bit different, but, you know, we want to be
that's
different.
That's why I make That's why it's lit, because it's different. But, hey, man, Batman and Robin, I'm from Dayton, so Cincinnati 50 miles away, so I go Joe Burrow and T. Higg.
Yeah, that's a good one, the young
you hope it. You hope it becomes that, right?
Yeah, yeah. And Jamar Chase is there now.
Yep.
So
I like
know,
that, Nate. Thank you.
I guess
you
would be – who would it be? It would be Batman, Robin, and who was the third that would hang out with them? Was it a third out?
It was Alfred.
The butler?
Yeah. That'd be the coach, I would guess. I mean, there's – I don't know.
Was it another?
Batgirl? I mean, they didn't really have like a third person. It was all villains after that.
Yeah, it was all villains.
Yeah, Alfred was the other part of that crew.
Alfred was
part
of the crew.
But that's more of a coach.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll get back to this conversation. But how about this, by the way? This is becoming like this. You know, a lot of stories in the NFL become this thing where one person says it, and then you forget, and a couple weeks later somebody else says it. It's the prevailing story that's hanging around. Now Adam Schefter is saying it. Schefter was on the John Kincaid Show on 97.5, The Fanatic, in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about Deshaun Watson and where things could end up with him eventually as everything gets figured out, where his career goes next after Houston, here's Schefter saying that he thinks Philly could be involved.
There's no team in the league with more draft capital than the Philadelphia Eagles. No team. And I just think that the Eagles are more equipped to make a run at Deshaun Watson than any team out there.
He also, by the way, said that if you put Deshaun Watson on the Eagles, they become a Super Bowl contender right away. You see that? First of all, this is not the first time we've heard the Deshaun Watson Eagles connection. I believe Diana Rossini was one of the first to say it months ago. And then others have said it too.
Okay, so let me start with could he go to Philadelphia? Mm-hmm. Absolutely, he can go to Philadelphia.
They have the
capital. Does he want to go to Philadelphia? Philadelphia has a history of accepting and working with players that have had issues in the past, most notably Michael Vick under Andy Reid, but under Jeff Lurie, the present owner of the Eagles. So they're not afraid of public scrutiny. Right. They're not afraid of that.
Right.
So they've already handled that before.
Mm-hmm.
Are they Super Bowl contenders? No.
They add him, it doesn't change what they are. They still are a ways away.
They've gotten better because they've signed people and they've gotten better. But they're not Super Bowl contenders just because you add Deshaun. This is not the Miami Dolphins. This is not the Denver Broncos. If you add him to the Denver Broncos, Kansas City better be they got some work cut out for
you. You're talking about Deshaun now.
Yeah.
The Broncos. If you add we've been Deshaun, talking about Aaron Rodgers to the
well,
Broncos.
Well, I'm just saying, if when you talk about teams that need a quarterback that are Super Bowl ready, the Miami Dolphins, if they add Deshaun Watson.
And they're also reportedly interested.
It's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. If the Denver Broncos add Deshaun, wake up Kansas City. That's, you know, so Philly, it's like, it's cool.
But you don't see it as far as Schefter believes they become the same team right away.
That's the same team that is in Houston. What's different? What's different about that team and the team he was running with Houston last year?
I mean, they just were in a Super Bowl a couple of years ago.
Listen to what I just said, though.
I know what you're saying.
Last season, when Deshaun Watson threw for whatever many yards and touchdowns, an amazing season, an MVP-type season, what's the difference between that team and this team if he was to join the Eagles today?
I got you.
That team is better than the Eagles are today.
We shall see, but obviously a lot more has to be worked out in that in Watson's case before anything can happen. But
and if I'm Deshaun,
meanwhile,
I'm
you mentioned
Philly,
you mentioned the
man.
Chiefs and Mahomes. You know, Mahomes tried to clear up. Remember the thing we joked about yesterday? Mahomes saying,
"What did he say?
Believe it when I see it."
What
when a fan yelled to him,
he was talking about something.
Justin
else.
Herbert. He said he wasn't talking about Justin Herbert.
What did I say?
He was talking about. Like, it was Raiders fans and
what
Chargers
did I say?
Fans
I said he wasn't talking about Justin Herbert.
Yeah, he was talking about the team.
I knew that. I was like, he ain't talking about Justin Herbert.
Yeah, he wanted to clarify that.
Because
so
you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
You're just not going to do that.
It's out of character for him to be that guy, but he said he was just messing with fans there. That's all that matters. All right,
so
Keyshawn. Jay Will is presented by Progressive Insurance. August joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. So Adam Schefter, he thinks Watson could end up in Philly. Where, of course, will Aaron Rodgers end up with training camps opening up in just a couple of weeks? That comes up after SportsCenter.
Ayton hands it off to Booker, bodied by Tucker. Lifts it for the rim. Blocked shot by Giannis on the alley-oop attempt to Ayton. What a defensive play by the Greek Freak with a minute 10 to go in game four.
Mark Kester with the call, ESPN Radio. The Bucks beat the Suns 109-103, game four of the NBA Finals to even up that series. Two games apiece. Chris Middleton goes for a playoff career high, 40 points, out-dueling Devin Booker, who went for 42 points. And the Bucks had that comeback in the fourth quarter. Middleton scored 10 straight points. Middleton and Booker are the fourth opposing players with 40-point games in finals history. In the WNBA, the All-Stars beat Team USA 93-85 at their All-Star event. It gives Team USA their first loss in an exhibition game since 2019. Arike Ogbumwale. I had it right the first time. Ogbumwale, I tried really hard, was named All-Star Game MVP with a game-high 25 points, the fourth most in an All-Star game in WNBA history. Free agent cornerback Richard Sherman facing several charges, including one on suspicion of burglary, domestic violence, after he was arrested at his wife's parents' residence in Redmond, Washington, early Wednesday. Redmond police said at a news conference Wednesday that Sherman also faces charges of suspicion of resisting arrest and malicious mischief. In addition, Washington State Patrol said at the news conference that his department is also ready to refer Sherman to prosecutors for possible misdemeanor DUI and hit-and-run charges related to a separate incident on Wednesday. SportsCenter brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear knows from here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs. It takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear, more driven.
I knew you were going to botch it.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn with Key. Mike Tannenbaum joining us right now in studio. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good to be with you
guys.
What's
up?
Good to see you.
Well, Key's causing all kinds of trouble already this morning.
What did I do?
Well, first you start with, he said that the Beatles and the Monkees, same thing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Like, you go there.
He-Man haircuts, okay, bad suits with skinny ties.
This is what we're doing.
And little bitty glasses.
This is what we're doing.
It's the same thing.
It's like Chad Johnson, Keyshawn Johnson, kind of same.
Well, they tend to think that when they're scouting guys. Hey, he's 6'4". You know, he has.
Why are you pointing to Mike? What did he do?
Because that's what they do. They scout guys and they go, he reminds me so much of that guy.
Hey, it's good to see you too, Keith. I was expecting a little bit more of a welcome mat there, you know?
No, you're good, man. But, everything's
but
been
the
good.
But the other problem was, you watched last night? Did you watch game four last night?
Yeah, of course.
All right, so the Giannis block,
yeah,
which is spectacular block, right? A big play and a big moment. Could be a signature play of the finals.
I ruined it.
Key just points out that Ayton didn't really catch the ball, so.
I ruined it. I ruined a great moment in basketball playoff history by pointing out that he didn't catch it clean. It was off his fingertips, and he's falling away as the ball is – he's falling away, and the ball is slipping out of his hands as Giannis makes an amazing athletic play to get from the top of the key, turns around, elevates, and blocks. And everybody's like, oh, no, no. I'm like, man, the dude didn't even catch the ball clean.
Yeah, but Kia, what about the fact that he didn't foul him too?
No, I said the athletic play. Yeah. The athletic play by Giannis is great. All that's great. They're trying to put it in the LeBron James 2016 block category, and that's not true. That's not true.
Now LeBron's block leads to a championship, right? It's a game seven play.
Right.
So I mean, I agree that I wouldn't put it above that play.
You can't even put it in the same box as it.
Agree?
I don't agree. I think that's a game change. That could be a series-changing play. Yeah, here's LeBron's block.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wins a championship, but this could be the turning point.
Mike T, yes, the block could be a turning point, but it's not a clean block like LeBron's. You can't possibly sit there and say it's the same. It's not.
This is what we're doing this morning, Mike. So let's get into some football because we just, in the previous segment, Adam Schefter was on radio in Philadelphia. And he said something that it's kind of been a prevailing thing, not a big story, but something that we've heard a couple of insiders suggest, and that is when Deshaun Watson and all that stuff gets figured out, that one place he could end up is Philadelphia with the Eagles. First and foremost, what do you think of that? Because Schefter says they have all the assets to do it, and he believes that if he does go there, they become a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Philadelphia, Carolina, even maybe Miami are teams that could be interested in Deshaun Watson. Now, there's a criminal investigation, and we have to know that there's been no resolution to that. We also have to know that there are alleged victims in the situation. So if and when he's cleared and there's a lot of hurdles to get to and we get to the football discussion, absolutely. They're saying they were 3 first-round picks next year. And if I'm Philadelphia, He is a great, great young player, and I would do everything within reason and probably a little bit more than that to get him. And any team he goes to, I think they become a Super Bowl contender. And I would probably list maybe six or seven teams like the Chargers, the Chiefs, if Russell Wilson stays in Seattle, that shouldn't be interested in Deshaun Watson. But there should be about 26, 27 teams that should be. He's that much of a difference maker, and I would put Philly at the top of that list.
See, I don't know about the contender part of it, because the roster makeup in Philadelphia right now today is not Super Bowl contending roster. If you think about last year and what, and I was telling Alan prior to you coming in here, you think about Houston's team last year. They had some players. They had some coaching issues and things of that nature, but they had some players, and they were not playoff caliber. And that team was better equipped than this year's Philadelphia team with a new head coach that we know nothing about. We have no idea what he's about. And just to add him, this is not Miami, as you mentioned. This is not the Denver Broncos. Those are the type of teams that I look at that says to me, if they get a quarterback like an Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson, you might as well start to think about them as Super Bowl contenders, not the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I think Philly has some young players. And look, they just drafted Devontae Smith. We got to see how he turns out. They have to get some youth on their defensive line. The Brandon Grahams of the world are getting a little bit older.
Jalen Rigger? I mean, like, come on.
Yeah, he hasn't worked out so far. Now, it's only been a year, but Key, I would say this. Deshaun Watson, in my opinion, is that good. And if you look at the NFC East, he's clearly better than Fitzpatrick. We don't know about Daniel Jones yet. And him and Dak Prescott, to me, would be 1-1A.
So yeah, that's you're about right. That's a wash.
Right. So now you're at least tied for the best in terms of the quarterback in the division, and that's a great place to start. So if I'm Philadelphia, and because he's so young, guys, I would give up multiple first-round picks.
Can we do this without everything solved? Can we do it? Because we assume there's probably going to be a suspension at some point. We don't know how long, when. But can we just do it, put it on the shelf, and use it later on?
Yeah, so, Key, if you're the owner and I'm the GM, I'm going to come to you and say, you know, Mr. Lurie, look, he's probably going to be suspended. There could be certainly civil settlements. We don't know about the criminal situation. This could be our quarterback for the next 10 or 12 years. He seems to be a good person who obviously made a very big mistake. But if all that information comes back, we should be proactive and try to get on the front end of it because, I think there would be at least 20, 22 teams, if everything is cleared up with him, that would be interested in him. So I would try to be aggressive, again, making sure that we're on the same page, head coach, owner, and this is a situation that's somewhat complicated. I do think he'll be suspended because if we go back a decade ago, Ben Roethlisberger was suspended and there was no criminal charges. So,
right. Yeah,
we got to remember that Roger Goodell has the authority to suspend a player. That's a lower standard than a criminal standard.
And let's stay in Philadelphia. Let's stay in the NFC East in general, Mike. So when you look at whether they acquired Deshaun Watson or not, the Dallas Cowboys, it's the preseason. It's getting ready to be training camp. All the hype and everything is starting to roll in into Cowboy country. Are they the front runners in the NFC East?
100%. I think they're going to compete with Tampa Bay for the conference. I think they're going to go in on Thursday night on opening day and beat the Buccaneers. And here's why. When you think about Lyle Collins, Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, they missed 36 games last year. So, of course, you're getting back to be one of the top five quarterbacks of Dak Prescott, but you're getting back three difference-maker front-line offensive linemen. One's overpaid because he went to USC, their left tackle. But They have two great receivers in C.D. Lamb and Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup's a really good player. And, of course, they got Zeke Elliott. So I think that's a really hard offense to defend.
See, well, we did kick this around yesterday, and he was talking about how the defense.
I heard him. I'm just going to let you talk, though.
He talked about how the defense is the area of concern for the Cowboys. You mentioned the offensive line and those three guys. Them staying healthy, to me, is the biggest concern because there's a little bit of history there now with two of them that they can't stay healthy. When you say that if you power rank the concerns, I'm less concerned about the defense and more concerned about that offensive line staying healthy because we know when they are healthy, they're elite.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And if you look at the defensive side, their first five picks were on defense, started with Micah Parsons out of Penn State. And here's some irony, guys. When Dan Quinn went to the Atlanta Falcons in 2015 as the head coach, the defensive coordinator that was replaced was Mike Nolan. Now you fast forward to 2021. Last year's defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys was Mike Nolan. I'm a big believer in Dan Quinn. I think he'll have a meaningful impact on that defense. And guys, even if they get to middle of the pack,
right,
this is going to be a really hard team to beat.
One of the reasons I'm not overly concerned about the offensive line staying healthy, three offensive linemen, four offensive linemen, they don't get hurt in a single year. That just happened for whatever reason to the Dallas Cowboys. Plus, the quarterback of the Cowboys, that style in which Dak is, can help the offensive line because his ability to get outside the pocket, do things on the perimeter, make things a lot easier for offensive linemen. You got to think about it. Because of the egregious nature of the quarterback position the Cowboys had last year, it made that offensive line that they were playing with look god-awful.
Yes.
Because the quarterbacks were awful.
Yeah.
But by the way, not to jump topics, Key, I totally agree. And that's why when we go to Chicago and you hear what Matt Nagy's saying, like, Justin Fields is so much better than Andy Dalton. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, that competition should be over in 5 minutes because Justin Fields has so much more ability with his arm and his legs. He can make an average offensive line, which the Bears have, so much better. And I think what Andy Dalton did, and I agree, Key, he took an average offensive line. And he was a sitting duck.
Not only Dalton, what was the other dude's name that the Cowboys had in there before when Dalton got hurt? It was like another – I don't remember that quarterback's name. But it was a dude, though. Yeah, it was the guy they pulled off the practice squad or something.
But I'll tell you why that they're doing this in Chicago. Because it makes them look even better if he won the job. Like, you know, it's a bit – like it's
right.
If they're already going to anoint him now, first of all, now you've got Dalton who's going to be annoyed because I just signed here and you told me I'm QB1 and now you changed the plan on me. And then second of all – it's a much better story to say, hey, the kid won the job, makes us all look good.
So I'm Khalil Mack. So play that dude, man.
And you know that's going to happen. That's no doubt about it. Mike, you have to get up. Do you have to go, or can you hang for another segment?
I think I can hang. It's not a long commute over to the
It's real quick across the hallway. Do you want to hang with us for
more? Sure.
More
football. He doesn't have anything else to do.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider in studio, giving us a straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So, let's see. Coming up next, where do we go from here? Road to camp, as we are discussing best duos, Batman and Robbins in the NFL. We got some more to kick around, and we'll have Mike join us on that. And also, we want to ask you about Aaron Rodgers and that situation and what can happen, because he kind of flip-flopped the other day, going from one extreme to another. So, I'm curious to see what Mike T thinks about that. KJZ, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Hey, I got to read.
Do you?
Yes, I do. I was waiting for you to tee me up, but okay.
You know, you could have just started.
It's a long week for you.
Why do I always have to set you up?
It's time for some straight talk. We've all been there. You have some real work to do. But the free Wi-Fi where you're working isn't going to cut it. It's like leaving the winning runner stranded on third base. Not good at all. Well, now you can buy your own hotspot with Straight Talk Ultimate Unlimited Plan.
Yeah.
I know, these things aren't easy.
You were ready for this read,
weren't you? Get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month. All on America's largest, most dependable network. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Compatible devices are required. See straighttalk.com.
Coming up this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. New England Patriots quarterback Cam Newton as the countdown to the NFL season continues. Cam Newton, coming up this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, 9 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN News.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off
your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Absolutely. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin coming to you live from Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Alan Hahn with Key. Mike Tannenbaum joining us here in studio as well. And Mike, you can see now, always when you join the show, you're on a call or you're on the video. You're in studio now. You see, sabotage happens on a daily basis here.
I mean, what you guys go through, I mean, it's Herculean. I mean, it's heroic efforts by you guys.
I know you're inspired. I can tell. And, you know, we also are always inspired to talk about Aaron Rodgers because we don't know the great unknown, the beautiful mystery of what's going to happen with him. But Keith did something that he rarely does the other day. He flip-flopped. All along he's been saying, no way is he coming back to the Packers. Then we heard Adam Schefter reporting about how he's not happy. He doesn't want to return to the Packers, but he might not have any choices. He loves the coach. He loves the players. And Aaron told us over the weekend that he's going to figure out what he's going to take a couple of weeks and then start working out. So then he said, well, I think he's coming back. Then, like, later in the show, went back to saying, nope, he's not coming back. Can you offer, again, from the front office perspective, just some enlightenment on all the things that you've been able to put together, all the things you've been able to consume about this topic. Where are you right now with what if he will be at camp on day one or not?
Yeah, so I'd say there's three keys here. Number one, I think what we're quickly seeing is this is not Tom Brady, because I think all offseason people were saying, well, Tom Brady left. Well, Tom Brady was a free agent. Aaron Rodgers is pissed at his bosses, which he has every right to be, but he's under contract, and that's going to be meaningful because they're just not going to let him go when it's good for him. Number two, I think there is a great compromise here, which is after this year, guys, he has two more seasons. If I was Green Bay, I may say something like, look, I know you're upset, justifiably so. Here's what we're going to do. Play this year. We'll take the last 2 years. We'll void those last 2 years. That makes you a free agent at the end of the year. We can franchise you. But at least that'll force everybody to sit around the table. Because right now, if we don't have to do anything, Key, we could just make you come in. Yeah, exactly. And then the third thing is, and I think this is a big X factor, is how well does Jordan Love play? And here's why. If Jordan Love plays well and they get off to a 3-0 start, there's a lot more leverage on Green Bay. If they start 0-3 and Jordan Love doesn't play well, they're going to have to do whatever they can to make Aaron Rodgers happy. So I think if he misses regular season games, which I think could be likely, the eyes of the football world are going to watch carefully on how well Jordan Love plays.
Why even play that game, though, Mike? Why, as a front office guy, why even get to the, well, we got leverage, we want to wait and see if Jordan Love. Why don't you, if you know that the relationship is going south or have gone south, why not maximize today the value that you can get for a guy who doesn't want to be there? You know how it is. When players are forced to do something that they don't want to do, it doesn't end well. So why try to force Aaron Rodgers' hand to come in to a situation where you, as a former general manager, never missed a practice standing on the sideline? I don't want to look at your ass every day at practice when I have an issue with you. Walking through the building, I have an issue with you. It just creates bad blood in the building when you are around, and you're going to be around because you're not getting fired. So why not move him to Miami? Why not move him to Denver and get maximizing now? And I know people say, well, you can do that at the end of next season. Yeah, but what if the Denver Broncos all of a sudden – or the Miami Dolphins all of a sudden have a good year or a really, really bad year, and they're high up in the draft, and they decide to hit the detonator to reshuffle the deck and go draft a young quarterback?
Right, because the inverse of that is the conversation Green Bay is having. Worst-case scenario is not having Aaron Rodgers. Worst-case scenario is not being able to win without him. And if we're forced to trade him, which we don't want to do, we're going to work our tails off to try to make things right, is – all those draft choices you just talked about will be for April of 2022. So if that's our worst case scenario, let's take as much time as possible to try to reconcile
things. But I'm willing to give you three picks today.
Right.
I'm not willing to give you three picks in December.
Right, but if I'm Green Bay, someone will next year. Someone's going to have a quarterback issue. And since we can't use those picks next April, we want to take as much time as possible.
Yeah, that's a bad front office,
man. We're running out of time, but I did want to ask you, because a lot of people think it's too late, but you guys traded for Brett Favre. It was August when you did that.
And we had a great season with him, so absolutely.
It's not too late.
It is not too late, in my opinion. Absolutely. If they decide to run Key's play, which is to say, let's get maximum value right now.
The only difference I would say, and I wasn't in the front office, they ran a similar offense than Green Bay did.
All right, coming up next, and thanks, Mike, by the way, was Giannis's block as good as LeBron's? We will discuss.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.